From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, past the politics pappy, the rise and rule of W. Lee O'Daniel, part two, his years in office.
I like mountain music, good old mountain music, played by the real hillbilly band. I like bread and biscuits, big white fluffy biscuits, my dear old ma just makes them grand. We like to sing and play and try to make folks happy, we hope you'll say, please pass the biscuits, pappy. I like mountain music, good old mountain music, played by the real hillbilly band.
Well, he was a flower salesman who figured out early on that radio was a good way to not only sell flour, but sell himself, and got himself elected governor of Texas.
He was probably the worst governor we ever had in the state of Texas. He was probably one of the worst senators. He didn't know how to get things passed.
They accused him of peddling wang-doodle music, flap-doodle poetry, and doodle-bug statecraft.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. It took just a few weeks for Wilbert Lee O'Daniel to go from being a hillbilly flower salesman on the radio to becoming the most powerful politician in Texas. While O'Daniel never achieved any major accomplishments while in public office, he was talented at generating controversy and winning elections.
Hillbilly music and the Ten Commandments. Lee O'Daniel, Fort Worth flower salesman, used them successfully as his platform for a nomination for governor of Texas. Get rid of pork barrel politicians was one of his slogans. Songwriter, businessman, one-time president of the Chamber of Commerce, O'Daniel used sales promotion tie-ups with merchants in his campaign. 600,000 people saw him personally. More than 400,000 Democrats checked the name of Lee O'Daniel on primary ballots, outnumbering the total for all his 11 opponents. For rival candidates, he played I Hate Mountain Music.
Today, Texas historians say O'Daniel's remarkable political story is worth remembering because it teaches a cautionary lesson about the power of demagoguery in a democracy. Chuck Bailey is the former chief of staff for Lieutenant Governor Bob Bullock and the author of Picturing Texas Politics.
It is a cautionary tale in that you need to make sure that the folks can do what they say they can do, and that what they say they can do is not only lawful and constitutional, but practical. And he knew how to campaign. He was probably the first modern politician that was able to use the media for his political purposes.
O'Daniel won the Democratic nomination for Texas governor in 1938 in an age when Texas was a single-party state. There essentially was no Republican Party because of resentment to Reconstruction and the Civil War. Still, O'Daniel's strange political story was like catnip to the newsreel cameras.
In this picturesque building, the governors of Texas have inaugurated their respective administrations, and not the least of these is ex-governor James V. Allred. It is now our pleasure to meet Judge Allred's successor, Governor Lee O'Daniel, the present governor of Texas, with his wife and daughter. The story of Governor O'Daniel's rise to political fame reads like a chapter in fiction, and needless to say, his devoted wife, as well as his popular daughter Molly, have always been his chief supporters.
You know, people need to pay attention. You need to get below the surface. It's not just the surface. It's just not the sound bites and the music and the bands and all the hoopla. You need to make sure there's more to them, that they understand the process and how it works, because otherwise it won't work.
And Texas takes the 46-year-old flower salesman at his word. His circus-like showmanship flabbergasted old-time politicians. With a bus and a band, he crooned his way to victory.
The dust began to settle after O'Daniel's shocking primary victory, and it became clear that the voters' choice of an amateur politician gave them just that. It didn't take long for Pappy to start tripping over his own feet while trying to quickly master the double Lindy of crafting public policy. One of his first missteps was the unusual move of endorsing a slate of candidates for the Democratic primary runoff. It's a politically risky and unnecessary move, but also the endorsements were in favor of the longtime veteran politicians against the more liberal reformers. It was the first flash of O'Daniel's true colors, and it was a clear contradiction to his own election battle cry of throwing out the professional politicians. Pappy also drew curious frowns from the public when he named a governor's advisory committee, which consisted entirely of representatives of big business. Also, another early public relations fumble was his attending a Fort Worth $100 per plate dinner in his honor. O'Daniel's quip fell flat when he said, "If you can't afford the dinner, then there's 15-cent chili in the basement." But it took O'Daniel's first public speech as governor, just days after his massive inauguration, to completely knock the bloom off his honeymoon rose. Writer Bill Crawford, author of Please Pass the Biscuits, Pappy, said O'Daniel had made some big campaign promises. Now he had to explain how he was going to pay for them.
He promised old age pensions for everybody in the state. He didn't deliver anything. He was probably the most ineffective governor Texas has ever seen. He didn't actually do anything. He promoted certain of his policies, like old age pensions and other things, but the legislature hated him, so they weren't going to cooperate with him.
When our old age pension check comes to our door, we won't have to dread the poorhouse anymore. For we're old and bent and gray, good times will be back to stay when our old age pension check comes to our door. When our old age pension check comes to our door, dear old grandma.
Of course, he got on the bandwagon of state pensions, $30 a month for every Texan who is over 65 years. So that was a hot button for people who had had no money. During the Depression, this was a way to take care of them.
Mary Margaret McAllen is a historian and the author of I Would Rather Sleep in Texas.
Pappy O'Daniel was able to talk to these people and particularly try to stretch out a hand with the elderly and offered them this pension. He said, you know, we can do this economically, we can go forward. He was a great salesman. Unfortunately, he didn't do much when he got into office.
Life will just begin at 60, and we'll all feel very frisky when our old age pension check comes to our door.
A check for $30 a month for everyone over 65. That was the campaign promise that O'Daniel made. But he never said how the state would pay for such an expense that was estimated to cost $40 million a year. But in O'Daniel's first address to the legislature, he then said that the pension would have a means test, so only those seniors who earn less than $30 a month would then qualify. And he said a state transaction tax would pay for it. While on the campaign trail, O'Daniel had also made the promise that he would prevent a sales tax from being put in place in Texas. It was seen as a tax that burdens the poor, and it was hard to see what the difference is between a sales tax and a transaction tax. The majority of state lawmakers expressed their disgust with the proposal. Senator John Hill of Henderson called the speech a victory for the predatory interest that for the last 20 years have been trying to pull over a sales tax. And Senator W.C. Graves of Dallas called the plan a tax on poverty. But O'Daniel was dead set on finding a funding mechanism for the now reduced pension plan, and he was sure he could make it happen through the power of radio.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen, and hello there, boys and girls. This is Governor W. Lee O'Daniel of Texas speaking, direct from the front porch of this 87-year-old governor's mansion in the friendly city of Austin, the capital city of beautiful Texas.
Even though O'Daniel was now governor, he wasn't going to quit being a radio star. He passed his hillbilly show responsibilities to his son Pat, but Pappy wasn't giving up the mic. O'Daniel concentrated on weekly programs that were recorded at the governor's mansion on glass transcription disc and broadcast on Sunday mornings around the state. Only a few of these discs are still in existence, and for many years these recordings were lost to the public. Texas Public Radio uncovered the recordings that were in a private collection, and they are again now being heard on the radio for the first time in over 40 years.
And say hello to us here in our home, sweet home.
The Sunday O'Daniel radio show had the tone of a church service with prayers and hymns, along with patriotic music and messaging. But there was also time for strongly worded but soft-spoken political attacks on members of the Texas legislature. And O'Daniel took aim at lawmakers who didn't support his transaction tax.
W. Lee O'Daniel had a, as you probably know, had a radio program, and he checked the records of the legislators very carefully and told the people whether they were voting right or wrong. And you got lots of mail at that time, those supporting W. Lee O'Daniel. And that was his method of operation.
Reuben Centerfit was the Speaker of the Texas House from 1951 to 55. His first term as a state representative from San Saba was during O'Daniel's governorship, and he remembers how Pappy used the radio to smite lawmakers who crossed him.
I was anti-O'Daniel, but it didn't affect me as much as it did. You know, he had a purge, and he purged a large number of the members. He had a large turnover. But since I had not been in the session before while he was his first term as governor, it didn't affect me that greatly. He made an effort to purge those that opposed his program.
Governor O'Daniel also entered into a feud with the newspapers that covered state politics. He ended the longstanding practice of almost daily press conferences. He said if he had news, he'd tell it directly to the people of Texas via the microphone. And the press pointed out that the microphone doesn't ask tough questions and doesn't talk back.
And Pappy hated the newspapers. He got into a huge fight with all of the newspapers in the state and called them names, said that they were communists. He was so popular on the media that he controlled the media. The voters ignored the newspapers and, I guess what you'd call today, the mainstream media. And the listeners supported Pappy.
The O'Daniel Sunday morning broadcast infuriated his opposition and the Federal Communications Commission, who pointed out that these were political speeches and a violation of the then equal time mandate. So rather than submit his scripts for pre-broadcast approval, O'Daniel took his radio show south of the border. Again, Bill Crawford, who is also the author of the book Border Radio, Quacks, Yodelers, Pitchmen, Psychics, and Other Amazing Broadcasters of the American Airwaves.
When WPAP threatened to censor O'Daniel's broadcast as governor, O'Daniel said, okay, heck with you guys, I'm going to go down and broadcast from Mexico. And his listeners said, go for it. You know, we're fed up with the big-time media that controls the politics in the U.S. We want to hear Pappy. So Pappy turned the tables on them and used their censorship to promote himself and to become even more popular among his listeners.
From coast to coast and border to border, XERF is heard. We're located at 1570 on your radio dial, XERF in Ciudad Acuña, Coahuila, Mexico.
These wonderful border blaster stations, outlaw stations south of the U.S.-Mexico border, that broadcast in English to an American audience, the first guy who went down there and made the biggest station in the world was a guy named Dr. John R. Brinkley, and he developed an early version of Viagra, which was a goat gland transplant. And he said that it would make you the ram what am with every lamb.
And you men, you're holding back, many of you right now listening to me on these morning and evening broadcasts, and you know you're sick. Come at once to the Brinkley hospitals before it's everlastingly too late.
Now, when the Federal Radio Commission was established, Brinkley was the first guy they took his license away from. So he went down to Mexico right across from Del Rio, Texas, and built the largest radio station on earth and broadcast ads for goat glands and everything else. And he also had the Carter family on. He promoted popular music. He had preachers on. He had mystics and psychics who could see the future. All these characters who weren't allowed to broadcast in the U.S. Broadcasting from the border, what you couldn't broadcast from the U.S. That's why O'Daniel went down there for his political message.
And here's that well-known Carter family to carry on. A.P., Sarah, Maybell, Jeanette, Helen, June, and Anita. And, of course, they'll have to sing that good old theme song for you, Keep on the Sunny Side.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way.
Now, the Carter family wants to know when you're coming down to Monterey. The International Bridge is open 24 hours a day for your convenience, and the custom authorities will do everything possible to cut all the red tape, make it easy for you to get across the border.
It seems impossible to fathom today that the sitting governor of an American state would so blatantly violate federal law by broadcasting on radio stations in Mexico that were operating in defiance of United States sovereignty. But O'Daniel did it, mixing in homespun stories about his family in between political jabs.
Well, folks, I announced on my last program about Molly's wedding and invited all of you folks to be sure and come to the wedding here at the governor's mansion next Thursday at 8 o'clock in the evening. I want to repeat that invitation. We want all of you folks who can to be sure and come. This will be the climaxing event for our family here at the mansion. We want you to let us know in advance whether you are coming so we can arrange to be sure and have enough wedding cake to go around.
And O'Daniel used the Border Blaster radio stations to broadcast his frequent attacks on organized labor.
With a community of effort, with a united and cooperative spirit, with the zeal of true patriotism, let us go forward to achieve our common purpose. Let us make America so strong and good and true that it will withstand the attack of any foe. God bless our native land, America.
My God.
O'Daniel also used the airwaves to warn about a fifth column of enemy sleeper agents in Texas who were waiting to strike. He told his listeners to keep a close eye on their neighbors and report to him any suspicious activities.
They can be more deadly than the so-called fifth column, for they are invisible enemies lurking in unexpected places, wolves in sheep's clothing, showing their fangs of destruction only too late. These dealers in death must not so weaken our national defense that we can become the victim of a visible enemy. We must rout out these unseen enemies who strike at the very foundations of our fortresses, sometimes with a fury and speed equal to many motorized divisions, taking all within their path and leaving only desolation and death.
Well, Daniel's critics charged that he spent so much time working on his radio show that he didn't have time for working with lawmakers to deliver on his campaign promises. And time was running out for Pappy. At that time, the Texas governor served a 2-year term, and he would soon have to run for re-election. And there was still no money for his promised old age pension. Eventually, O'Daniel dared the legislature to find their own way to fund the pensions, and they did, with a proposed tax on cigarettes and natural resources, meaning oil. This was immediately opposed by O'Daniel, and that opposition fueled the now full-blown skepticism of the governor. He was being seen as someone who had deluded elderly voters that he was looking out for their best interest, but in reality, O'Daniel's critics believed he was catering to the state's most powerful businessmen who wanted to keep taxes low on natural resources, particularly oil.
He became very isolated, so he relied more and more on talking via the radio to support and gain his popularity. And the listeners gave him a break. It was one listener who said, he's a good man. It's not his fault he didn't do anything. And he was very affected at this as blaming the politicians, blaming the media, blaming others for the fact that he never did anything. Besides sold flour, he sold a lot of flour.
Now it was time for Pappy to get back on the Hillbilly Flower campaign bandwagon. Pappy was running for re-election. He got the band back, gave them new uniforms and a papier-mâché Texas Capitol dome over the sound truck. Then they hit the road. O'Daniel made fewer stops on the 1940 campaign tour, but the crowds were much larger. Again, former Lubbock Mayor and Railroad Commissioner Ernest Thompson ran for the Democratic nomination. He was seen as the strongest challenger, and again, O'Daniel crushed him, easily clinching the nomination. There were signs that O'Daniel's popularity was fading in the bigger cities in Texas, but support was increasing in the rural areas and with conservatives. And O'Daniel easily cruised through the general election in November. As a Democrat in the one-party state, he got 97% of the vote. But O'Daniel wouldn't stay in office as a second termer long due to a twist of fate in Texas politics, the sudden death of U.S. Senator Morris Shepherd of Texas. Shepherd was known as the father of prohibition in Washington, and in April 1941, he was struck by a fatal brain aneurysm. That left a Texas U.S. Senate seat open, and O'Daniel saw an opportunity.
And so Pappy had the job of appointing an interim senator. So Pappy by that time said, it might be cool to be a senator. In order to make sure that his appointment wouldn't go on and run for office, he didn't want to appoint someone who could run in the special election as an incumbent. So who did he choose? Well, he chose a gentleman called General Andrew Jackson Houston, who was the only surviving son of General Sam Houston. He was 87 years old. He lived in basically a shack. And Pappy arrived and knocked on his door and said, "Do you want to be the senator?" And he said, "Yeah, I'll go for it."
It was clear to anyone who looked that Andrew Jackson Houston was not well suited to become a U.S. senator. At 87 years old, he's listed as the oldest freshman senator in U.S. history. Sworn in on June 2, 1941, he attended one committee hearing, and he died on June 26th.
Well, it's always my understanding that he knew Andrew Jackson Houston wouldn't last very long, and so he could say, well, look, we appointed Sam Houston's son. He didn't last, so I'll make a run for it. And that way he didn't seem too grasping at the beginning.
So now there would be a special election to fill the unexpired Senate term, and there would be no incumbent.
Pappy O'Daniel ran for it, as did a young Congressman Lyndon Johnson.
This is the beginning of Lyndon's campaign for the Senate. In the spring of 1941, he's arriving in Austin, stepping briskly.
This 1941 special election for the Texas U.S. Senate seat has become the stuff of legend. The young congressman from Johnson City against the miracle man of radio, O'Daniel. Lyndon's wife and future First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson, captured some of it on home movies that she later narrated.
Here is another opponent, W. Lee O'Daniel, who flashed like a comet across the Texas political scene. This is on the courthouse square at Marshall also. Like an old Confederate veteran. In those days, there was always one in every political crowd. And this is his band. A famous word about him was used to, when he'd come to a question that he didn't know quite how to get into, he'd say, "Strike up a piece, Leon." And here's W. Lee O'Daniel himself. Pappy O'Daniel. Pass the biscuit, Pappy.
Johnson was running as a pro-New Dealer in support of President Roosevelt. O'Daniel ran again using the Ten Commandments as his platform, but also on the campaign trail, he openly ridiculed Johnson, calling him a yes man for Washington, D.C. But it really wasn't politics that the rally attendees came out to see. They wanted to see which candidate would put on the best show.
Personally, I think Lyndon Johnson learned a lot from him. If you see what was reflected in later, everybody talks about LBJ and his magic ways of getting a crowd stirred up. I think he took pages from Pappy O'Daniel, who was referred to as a vote getter, amazing, that he was a wizard. Everybody just extolled how he could run a show.
And Johnson was determined to out Pappy. He had his own 22-member jazz band, and he put on a two-hour-long carnival around the state, which also included a lottery at the end of the show that gave away money in the form of defense bonds. Johnson had come a long way in this race, from a relatively unknown to neck and neck with the most popular radio personality in Texas. One person who was watching this race with great interest was President Roosevelt. By now, O'Daniel's anti-New Deal feelings were well known, and FDR didn't want to see him become a troublesome senator.
This is another great Texas legacy that Pappy latched onto and sort of drove forward. He hated the New Deal. And of course, Lyndon Baines Johnson, whom he ran against for the Senate, was the New Deal guy in Texas. But Pappy ran against the New Deal. He hated the New Deal. Again, he was sort of a forerunner of, we don't want government interference in Texas.
Now, here we are in Blanco. It is election day, and Lyndon has stopped in Blanco to see some of the hometown folks. Here we are walking up to the courthouse in Johnson City. That was the sheriff, Casparis. Here we are voting in the old county courthouse in Johnson City. Notice the big X.
The big X might have been a sign of overconfidence on LBJ's part because all the indicators pointed to a tight victory for Johnson, and he felt he was on his way to taking that big step forward with all of his political ambition. As the returns came in that night, Johnson's victory seemed assured. Even the newspapers went to press declaring his victory. However, Pappy O'Daniel still had some biscuits in the oven, and some suspicious late ballot boxes showed up that turned the tide for the flower salesman.
Pappy O'Daniel won. Some indication at the time that he stole a lot of votes in East Texas. It's that the famous story that Lyndon said he'd never be outstolen again by anybody. So O'Daniel went to the Senate and served until 1948. Pretty much unsung. He didn't do anything. It was not very popular with the other senators, just didn't do too much.
After the 1941 special election, O'Daniel traveled to D.C. and was sworn in. He then, on the Senate floor, began to lecture his fellow senators about everything they were doing wrong. That soured his August colleagues on Pappy. O'Daniel never found more than 4 votes for any legislation that he put forward as a senator. But there was still radio. One of the first things that he did after arriving in Washington was trying to find government jobs for members of his hillbilly band. And back in Texas, Pappy was on the air, but with a darker tone. O'Daniel used the airwaves for open attacks on his political enemies, beating up on organized labor, finding communists in closets, and keeping segregation in place.
While this New Deal outfit is getting all tangled up in the segregation question, they may get a real taste of segregation themselves this coming November at the election polls. The plan now is to segregate the New Deal and deport it to Shangri-La. Yes, friends, way down south in the land of cotton, when the New Deal's gone but not forgotten, we'll still be segregating and we'll still be voting straight. Whites and blacks respect each other, but they don't intend to mate.
O'Daniel's popularity continued to slide. A poll in 1948 found that he only had 7% approval rating in Texas. He decided not to seek re-election. The most positive aspect of his career was the Light Crust Doughboys and the music that they gave Texas. W. Lee passed the biscuits. Pappy O'Daniel was inducted into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame in 2015. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. You can write to us with an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. You could also write directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. That's where you can find past editions of Texas Matters, and you can find us on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.